Tango Tango Papa 2031, February 8, 2019.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from, where am I at? I'm in Virginia. Don't remember the name of it. Just, I'll think of it maybe. It's not important. It's a pretty good sized Petro truck stop. And I guess, I don't know, it would be kind of considered central Virginia along Interstate 81. And so I am spending the night here. I unloaded earlier at Salem, Virginia. And so I stopped here because they have a Blue Beacon truck wash. So I got the trailer washed out. And so I'm spending the night here. And then I'm picking a load up that should already be loaded at Stewart's Draft, Virginia, which isn't too far from here. And then that load goes to Kennesaw, Georgia. So they've been keeping me quite busy since I came back to work about a week ago, or a little over a week ago. So I am continuing, of course, with the low carbohydrate diet. And I am also continuing to be fascinated by the whole concept of it, and primarily because it's the results are so dramatic. Now, I don't know what my weight is at this point. When I was at home several days ago, I did weigh, of course, and my weight would vary if I weighed in the morning. It was varying. I think I'd have to look at the phone to be sure, but I think at one, the last time I checked, let's see what it was, because I took a picture of the scale several times, so let me look here, see if I can find, there we go. Yeah, so it was 168, and that was with basically out of the bath with very few clothes on. I think I had maybe underwear. So that's not too bad, considering that it, before I started this, it was 185 point something. So that's not too bad. And so I'm not expecting the weight to come off very quick. You know, I've got this fat around my middle that I've had pretty much my entire life that I can remember. And even, I think at one point I got down to, I don't know, maybe 145 is the lowest that I ever got as an adult. And that, you know, that fat never did go away. Even at 145, I still had... fat that I could, you know, I could pinch more than an inch. It was still there. It does seem to be slowly diminishing. And I think that probably over time that's going to continue. But I really don't care at this point. You know, if 168 comes up as like a normal weight. And so it's probably going to continue to go down. But at this point, it doesn't matter. Even if it doesn't go down, even if I don't get rid of the so-called adipose tissue around my middle, it doesn't matter. I'm going to continue with the low-carb diet, and the reason why, as I've said before, I am rid, and I mean completely rid of the acid reflux. Now, that's reason enough right there, but then there are other really great benefits to cutting out the carbohydrates. Namely, the other big one is loss of inflammation. Now, you know, you hear people talk about inflammation, and it sounds kind of nebulous. You know, you think, well, what's inflammation? Well, you have inflammation in your joints, and you have inflammation in your intestinal tract. And you can have inflammation in other organs that you think the organs are probably, they're just perfectly normal because you can't really feel them per se, but they become inflamed too. And so overall, inflammation is a big deal. And I didn't even realize, you know, I heard people talk about it or whatever, but I didn't realize that I actually had it. Now, for some time, I just, you know, I've had little aches and pains here and there in this joint and that joint. And I just assumed, like everybody does, that, oh, well, the joints wear out. And that you, when you get older, as you age, you can just expect this joint to hurt and that joint to hurt and what have you. And it's just part of life, part of getting old, everybody loves to say. And that's not true. I hate to say that. I'd hate to burst your bubble if you believe that. But it's just not true. You know, your joints become inflamed because probably your diet is something that you're eating. And it's probably, I can tell you what it is, it's grains. It's the bread that you're eating that you're in love with. It's the, you know, it's, and it's the starches that you're eating. It's the sugar that's causing it. And also the high insulin is also causes insulin, or it also causes inflammation. And if, you know, so I noticed that it, you know, this all kind of, you know, fairly quickly, within, I'd say within a couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, once I started cutting out the carbohydrates, that's when I sort of noticed, you know, when I really kind of thought about it, I noticed, wow, aches and pains are gone. Everything seems to be working better. And so it really is pretty remarkable. So I've, and it's, you know, and one of the things that I would think that, you know, that I would have thought before, well, you know, you eat in restaurants, it's going to be hard to stay on a low-carb diet, and it's actually not. Now, there's certain types of restaurants that I'm not eating in. I'm not, I'm kind of, you know, I'm managing to avoid pretty much the fast food restaurants. And also, even though you can get some low-carb stuff from a fast food restaurant, it's just easier to avoid them completely. And I'm going to, most of the time, I'm going to sit-down restaurants. Now, today I did get a salad from Subway because I didn't really have any, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be, how long I was going to be at that place at Salem, Virginia. Because there's been times where I've unloaded there and it took forever. Today it ended up being pretty quick. So I stopped this afternoon. Well, it was around noon I stopped. And stopped at a Subway and got a Subway salad. And that was my second meal of the day. The first meal I had a, it was at a Huddle House, which is sort of like a Waffle House, if you're familiar with Waffle House. Huddle House is a similar kind of a concept of a restaurant, a 24-hour restaurant. And so they had, so I was able to get an omelet. So I got an omelet and a salad at that Huddle House. That was what I had this morning. And then I had the Subway chicken salad. And I told her I wanted double meat. And so that's pretty well satisfied me. Now, I'm right at the moment, I could probably eat something, but I'm not really hungry. So I'll just wait and then probably won't get up early in the morning, and I'll eat here. They have a sit-down restaurant here at this Petro truck stop. I will eat here before I leave in the morning, and so that's kind of what I've been doing is lately, is eating early and then eating again for maybe at lunch. Now, there are times, it depends on what my schedule is, there's times where that gets flipped, where I will maybe eat in the middle of the day and then later in the evening, but it seems to work better. I think it's a better idea not to eat and then go right to bed. I don't think that's, even though I don't have acid reflux now, I don't think that's such a great idea. I think it's better to just go to bed and not eat, or eat, kind of eat and then go to bed, right away. And sometimes with my schedule, I end up having to do that. So if I eat very early in the morning and then in the midday at some point or mid afternoon maybe, and then I go to bed in the evening, then that seems to work well. So, but that's what I'm doing right now. And it's interesting because the longer I do this, what I'm finding is that maybe I feel hungry once in a while, but I can go, many, many hours and not eat and not really feel like I'm missing anything. I'm not getting tired after I eat. That, sometimes that can happen, where you eat a big meal and then you feel like you're tired. And of course, the reason you are is because of the blood sugar problem. And once you sort of wean yourself away from living on glucose, sort of wean yourself, all of your body cells away from living on glucose, and become so-called fat adapted, so that your body learns how to it ramps up the ability to burn ketones, so-called ketone bodies, and that's where you get this idea of the ketogenic diet. Once you've done that, then you've got kind of a much more steady supply of energy, and it's more efficient. It has less waste than when your body is burning glucose. So the ketones are more efficient. The brain runs a lot better. And it's just kind of ambiguous, and you have to kind of experience it for yourself. But kind of running on ketones, I think, I have a lot better mental clarity. So there's a lot of benefits to it, but just getting rid of the acid reflux is a huge one. And then the other thing is getting rid of the just general inflammation, joint inflammation, gut inflammation. Because periodically I'd have problems being a little constipated, and you think, well, you're not getting enough fiber or whatever. Well, I was eating plenty of fiber, but now I'm not. I'm still eating the fiber, of course. I'm eating salads with most meals. It depends on the meal, but with most meals now, I'm eating some sort of a salad with it. Let's say I go to Denny's, for example, I can either get a steak, which I don't do that very often. More likely, I'll get, they have a, like a wild-caught salmon. And that's actually quite tasty. Salmon's great. I love salmon, the fish. So, and then you get a vegetable with that as well, usually broccoli, which I know a lot of people don't like broccoli. I love it. I have since I was a little kid. So that works out really well. So that, you know, I'm not eating a whole lot of red meat. People think, oh, you're eating too much red meat. Well, I'm not eating a whole lot of it. You know, once in a while is great, but I'm not, it's not every meal. In fact, it's probably less red meat than when I was eating, you know, stopping in, you know, McDonald's or whatever and eating the quarter pounder with cheese and, you know, with the buns and that crap. So it is pretty easy, you know, in a lot of restaurants, you know, like you go to Denny's, you don't have to order off the menu. You just tell them what you want and they'll do it. You know, so I can come up with some strange combinations, like a, you know, I want an, you know, a, like a, they have a, like a Philly cheesesteak omelet, which, you know, comes with a variety of vegetables plus the steak and the cheese. And then, you know, maybe add in some bacon or eggs to that as well as a salad. Why not? You know, and they're happy to, they're just as happy to let me pick what I want as opposed to, you know, the meal packages. And, you know, I just tell them I don't want any bread. And they, okay, no problem. No croutons with the salad either. So, but I have every intention of continuing to eat this way, and I'm not tempted at all to go back to any kind of carbohydrates, the bad ones. Now, there are carbohydrates in vegetables, you know, but it's a different story because you've got fiber with it. And by the way, I am not constipated at all. It's, I'm going, you know, when I need to go to the bathroom, I'm not having any this thing where I feel like, oh my God, I've got to go, I'm about to go in my pants, which I would often feel. I can go or not go, and typically if I feel like I need to go, it's not like an emergency, and I can go in there and do my business, and then that's that. But the bowel movements are, not to be too graphic, but the bowel movements are pretty consistent, and they're, you know, not a problem. They're very consistent, and it's just not a problem. But periodically with carbohydrates, I would get constipated, and then, you know, I'd kind of alternate between being constipated and then it would get really soft, or maybe, you know, and then even to the point of a little bit of diarrhea, and then, you know, it'd go be, you know, next thing I know, it's kind of constipated again. And so many things have just kind of straightened that I just thought, well, that's normal. You know, this is just normal. I've lived with it for years. It was normal. No, it's not. Because now that's all gone. And it's all, you know, so many things have straightened out that I didn't even realize. I just thought, well, that's just the way the human body works. Well, no. That's the way the human body works when you're feeding it crap. You know, our ancestors didn't eat all these carbohydrates. You know, we've got the same exact DNA that the people had from 200,000 years ago. Now, do you think they were getting up and they were having toast in the morning and, you know, 200,000 years ago? Do you think they were living that way? Of course not. You know, they didn't have cereal, bowls of cereal and toast and God knows whatever else people eat. You know, probably in a lot of cases, they'd catch an animal and, you know, maybe they could eat then. You could kind of go back to like a hunter-gatherer type situation. And maybe the only refined sugar that they had was maybe if they found a beehive. And that was limited. They didn't have the refined sugar on demand that we've lived with our entire lives and pigged out on. But the main thing with this is to eat, if at all possible, eat real food. Do you think like a Twinkie is food? It's not. It's just, garbage. Or you could say, some people call that stuff garbage. Contracting carbohydrate with garbage. Garbage. But that's really what it is. It's not food. It has no nutritional value. It's just sugar. Now, the fascinating thing is that people, I guess I just didn't realize to the degree that some people actually become addicted to sugar, to sweet stuff. Now, as it turns out, I'm not one of those people. I would have thought that I might have been, but it turns out I'm not, because I was able to just pretty much walk away from it. And it hasn't bothered me a bit. I could be right next to a nice, sweet roll with glistening frosting, the glistening white frosting, and it smells really good, and I can be right next to it and I'm not tempted whatsoever. You smell the bread baking, I'm not tempted whatsoever. Some people can't resist that. It's like trying to give up cocaine, I guess, because it actually does light up the same centers in the brain. There's this one, I've been watching a lot of videos, of course, and this one thing they talked about, a mouse study where they had, given the rats actual cocaine. It was either rats or mice, one of the two. They'd given them cocaine, so they had their choice of cocaine, which they'd already, gotten the cocaine. And then they gave them a choice of cocaine or sugar. Guess which one they picked? They wanted the sugar. They went after the sugar. The heck with the cocaine, they wanted the sugar. So it has a very, with some people, and it just depends, on your makeup, your particular makeup, but some people really are addicted to sugar. But even so, you can get off of it, and it is possible to change your tastes or your so-called palate. Now at this point, if I'm eating something that's got sugar in it, I got to be careful with the ranch dressings, because sometimes it's they have these, it's fat free. Well, if they take the fat out of it, then they load it up with sugar. And at this point, had I ate that, and I had eaten it before then, I thought, it's okay. Now the fat-free ranch dressing that's got added, a bunch of added sugar to it, tastes bad. I don't even like the taste of it. And today, while I was eating the Subway salad, they had purple onion in it, and the onion was fairly sweet. Now, and of course you can always kind of taste the sweet in, if you got a sweet onion, you can kind of taste it. But it really struck me, it was kind of pronounced, because I really could, more so than ever, kind of detect the sweetness in the onion, more so than in the past. So that's kind of interesting. That I'm able to kind of really detect sweet tastes at this point. And I really don't want them. But nonetheless, I'm really able to detect them. But the carbohydrates, level in an onion, I'm not eating that much of it. It's in a salad or whatever. It's negligible, and plus it has fiber. So that kind of mitigates it. Because the body really has to work, the digestive system really has to work at releasing those sugars. It's not like, unlike something like fructose, which, like if you have a banana, that just gets dropped. All that sugar gets instantly dropped in your system. Like if you eat a banana, bananas are terrible. And they're really a terrible source of potassium. People think, oh, bananas are high in potassium. Terrible source of potassium. I don't know if I mentioned in the last podcast, I bought, when I was home the last time, I bought, I probably didn't, I haven't had a podcast since I was home the last time. This is the podcast. I bought, while I was home this last time, I went to Sam's Club, and I bought a couple of big bags of pecans. They were like $14 a piece. And, so pecans are pretty low carb. You can have a whole cup of them. And I think maybe there's 4 carbs in an entire cup. Now it's higher, it's higher fat content, which that's really good. In fact, pecans are a great source of fat. So that makes a nice snack. Now I really don't like snacking. Generally, I just don't snack. But what I have been doing is, I'm not eating an entire cup of them at once. I'm eating maybe a third of a cup when I do eat them, and I'm mixing them, with the meals. So, for example, today after I ate the Subway salad, then I went ahead and finished the meal off by consuming about a third of a cup of the pecan halves. And that really worked out well. But the idea really is to get your insulin levels down. Because it's not just the sugar that's the problem. Of course, sugar is a problem if it's in your bloodstream. So typically what happens, and I'll just kind of go through the sequence. Typically what happens, you eat. Let's say you eat something that's full of carbohydrates. That gets metabolized into glucose, and then of course that glucose goes right into your bloodstream, and then your body immediately, your body doesn't want, it likes to tightly regulate the amount of glucose in your bloodstream, to about 5 grams for a gallon and a half of average person has a gallon and a half of blood. So the pancreas immediately releases insulin. And the idea is with the insulin to get that sugar down, get that level down, back down to where it belongs as quickly as possible. And so normally it pushes it into the cells. Now, if you're young, usually you can, your body's able to kind of handle it. The machinery is able to handle it. Although that's becoming less and less so because now you're getting teenagers with type 2 diabetes. But, in a normal system, the insulin gets released, and then that pushes the glucose, it pushes it into the cells, or it ends up getting stored as fat as well, because your muscles and what have you can only accept so much glucose, but then over time, if you continue to do this, what happens, your body cells have enough glucose. They don't want any more. And so they actually, your body cells actually reduce the number of insulin receptors because they just don't want it. There's too much. They don't need it. It's interfering with them. So they reduce the number of insulin receptors, and so that's how you become insulin resistant. So in the meantime, the pancreas, you keep eating your high carb diet. You know, you got your 55 teaspoons of sugar that you're eating every day, if you're an American, and you're the equivalent. And, you know, your 255 grams of carbohydrates that you're pigging out on every day. And so over time, as, you know, the years go by, you develop more and more insulin resistance. But in the meantime, your pancreas is pushing out more and more insulin to get that blood sugar level back down to a manageable level where it's not doing damage. But then at some point, the pancreas just kind of wears out. It just sort of burns out, and it just can't keep up anymore. And so at that point, what ends up happening is that then the sugar has nowhere to go, and it's just kind of floating around in your bloodstream, and it's doing real serious damage. But in the meantime, the insulin, those elevated insulin levels are also doing damage. Because insulin is an inflammatory. If you get too much of it, it causes inflammation in various parts of your body, including your arteries. So the sugar itself is inflammatory, the insulin is inflammatory, and plus you're eating all these grains, which are inflammatory, some of them worse than others, but they're all bad. And so, you know, and then you end up with artery disease, you know, where you got inflammation in your arteries, and then you end up with, your body tries to, you know, kind of do a Band-Aid with, the plaques and the cholesterol. It's trying to, you know, sort of make temporary repairs, and then, you know, and then you end up with calcium eventually, you know, and you can end up with blockages where arteries become completely blocked or partially blocked. Sometimes those plaques can break loose then, and you end up with, you know, blocking an artery, and you end up having a stroke, or it blocks your heart and you have a heart attack. So, and it's all diet. Every bit of it is bad diet. If people think that, you know, they've been brainwashed into, orange juice, it's healthy. Or apple juice, I'll drink my apple juice, it's oh so healthy. No, it's not. It's you're drinking sugar. Well, I don't care if it's organic or not, so it's chicken poop. You gonna eat it? If you ate chicken poop, the organic chicken poop, do you think it would be a wise thing to do? I don't think so. So, but people are killing themselves with a diet, you know, eating all these carbohydrates, and then you know, you can kind of, it's amazing because unless people are willing to listen, they won't listen. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear, they just get to where they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to believe it. And I think probably in large part it's because, the thing tastes so good. You know, all these carbohydrates taste so wonderful. And people are sort of used to eating them, and you know, they'll say, "Oh my, that's what my I was grew up eating that or whatever, and I can't change now." Well, maybe, I guess not, but, you know, you end up having a heart attack. You know, one third of the people, I believe that's the statistic, you know, they find out that that's the first symptom that they have heart trouble or heart disease or an arterial problem is they have a massive heart attack and they die. That first heart attack, the first symptom kills them. One third of them. You know? Or, you know, you end up with type 2 diabetes and you end up with, you know, usually they end up with burning feet, you know, because the nerves are dying in their feet, and they end up with, you know, neuropathy. Start losing the feeling in their feet because, you know, poor circulation. Or they have to start amputating toes and feet or legs because of bad circulation caused by the diabetes. They also, blindness is another side effect. So it's really nothing to mess around with. You know, and maybe you don't, you know, I don't have any, you know, I've never been threatened with it. I've never, you know, I don't believe I'm insulin resistant. I haven't been checked for it, but I don't think that I am. I don't really have any of the insulin resistance symptoms. But, it could happen. It's just, it's really a matter of eating, you know, you eat your carbohydrates for decade after decade after decade. Some people can get away with it, depending on their metabolism. A lot of people can't. And even the people that get away with it still end up with joint problems. They still end up with various kind of inflammation problems. And or, you know, immune system problems because of the bad diet. Because we're eating things that our ancestors never had. And not only were we eating them, we're pigging out on them. Decade after decade. You know, so even if you're not threatened with, you don't think you're threatened with type 2 diabetes, it is a good idea to back away from the sugar, get away from all of the grains and what have you, because they're bad news. They really are. So, anyway, now that I've preached at you, you know, but hey, that's the, you know, this podcast is always about what I'm thinking about currently, and right now this is you know, it's been on my mind for the past couple of months anyway, and so that's, you know, and it shows, at this point, it shows no sign of me losing interest in it as a topic. So, now eventually I'll move on to something else, you know, because I always do. I'll always find some other topic that I'm interested in. But right now, for the past couple of months, that's, you know, my YouTube consumption has been a lot about the low-carb diet. So ketogenic diet, but part of the it's not just low carb. You know, the ketogenic diet is also really about higher fats, because the Atkins diet was more about just, you know, cutting out the carbs, but the ketogenic diet is more about you know, not so much protein, but you know, a larger amount of fat. You know, the fat is really important. You know, the good fats, not there are bad ones, but the good ones like what you're going to get with fish or whatever. That those are really good fats, and you know, so and your body needs those kind of fats. So, but it doesn't need carbohydrates. You can live just fine, thank you very much, without. There's no such thing as an essential carbohydrate. And you can, you know, quote your you know, find some expert that tells you what it, you know, what you should eat or whatever. And it's natural, you know, your banana is a natural thing and it's healthy for you and all that. You can go ahead and believe that. If you want to believe it, have at it. You're the one that's possibly going to suffer. Not everybody is going to end up with type 2 diabetes, but a lot of people do end up with joint problems. You know, even if they don't end up with type 2 diabetes, they do end up with joint problems usually. And it's because of diet. Diet, diet, diet. It's what you're putting in your mouth and eating. And if you, you know, and then the other problem, you know, if you're eating for comfort, oh, I'm trying, you know, I have to comfort myself, so I have to have my spaghetti, or I have to have my bread or whatever. If you're eating for that reason, that's, you know, that's bad in and of itself. You know, you should be very careful about what, you know, and not eat to, in order to give yourself some sort of an emotional distraction. That's bad. That's doubly bad. You should eat the right foods for the right reason, and the right reason shouldn't be, you know, because you know it comforts me to eat. That's a very poor reason to eat. So anyway, I've got some short voice files from Joel. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here. I'm on my way to the gym to do my workout. Kind of got a quiet week, which is not absolutely great in my current position, but that's okay. We'll be getting things back on track here next month. But anyway, so that's why I'm going to the gym now versus later this evening. My wife also has something this evening, so I have to do it now. Because I won't have a car otherwise. Because my son has something and she has something. So anyway, we're coming up on. I should have a bonus this year. I think. I don't know for sure if I'm getting it or not, but you know, probably in the next month or so, I should have an idea. So I've started. And one thing I always do here, and I'm going to turn my fan down here a bit. Anyway, so hopefully it's easier to hear me. Anyway, one of the things I do, before I do any kind of purchase, I like to do a research, of course. So, and I've been looking at that. Dang it, I hit the button on the phone. Sorry about that. Anyway, I know you got a Surface Pro 3 a while ago, and you're probably still using it. And I've been wanting one probably since at least that time. But I think this year I'm going to probably get a Surface Pro 6. Mostly because I want the stylus. I want to be able to run Photoshop and whatnot on it. And I'd like a small machine that I can slip in my the backpack I take with me when I travel for work, along with my work machine, because I maintain separate work and personal devices. So that's one of the ones I was looking at was that. So right now that's probably the contender. Another one that's on the list of laptops that I'm looking at buying instead of the Surface would be the HP Folio, which is very Surface-like. One thing that HP does better than Microsoft is they actually include the keyboard and stylus in the package, which is something I think Microsoft needs to start doing. I mean, that's the thing that ticks me off the most about the Surface products is they look great and they work great, but they don't, you know, they want to charge you extra for the thing that makes it worth getting a Surface to begin with. So that's on the list as well. And I'm also thinking about a MacBook Air. The two things that the HP and the MacBook Air have above the Surface, because the Surface only has regular USB-A, so a regular USB port, and not the USB-C or Thunderbolt port, and its little adapter, you know, whatever it uses for its charger. So that's what the Surface has. Now, both the HP Folio and the MacBook have a USB-C or Thunderbolt 3 port, which that's the same port does both. And that's why those two are, I'm really seriously considering those two, because at some point in the future, I'm going to buy Blackmagic has a box, and so does, Razer might be another one. But basically, buy an external GPU so that when I'm at home, I can have that GPU hooked up to a monitor, or even without a monitor, I can just hook it up to my device when I'm at home, and then I can use that to increase the speed of my render. So I can do all my editing, I can do all of that locally, and then do the rest of it. The rendering using the eGPU. But that's really actually low on the list, because the eGPUs are $500 or $600. And that's I think it's also including the card. Although some of those, it might be that without the graphics card. So, but I know you really, really liked your Surface Pro 3. I'm really interested in the Pro 6. I'd like the Surface Book 2, which has a NVIDIA 1050 card, but that's it.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. Joel's file got cut off right there. In any case, yeah, I am still just as happy as I can be with this Surface Pro 3. It's still, you know, very fast. Of course, it's a SSD drive, but it's, you know, and I've got the middle processor that I think it's the, it was the 5. I'm having a brain fart right now, but it was the, it was the middle processor, because they had a slower, like a 3 and a 5 and a 7. And this is the 5, you know, whatever it is. And so it, you know, and it's you know, pretty fast. And it, even though, it, you know, I've had tons of Windows updates since I've had it, because I've had it for, you know, it's a Surface Pro 3. I bought it right about the same time that the Surface Pro 4 came out. And now they're up to the Surface Pro 6. So, so I'm very happy with the Surface Pro 3. It's just, it's been a wonderful little device. And, you know, of course, I have the keyboard, you know, that I recently added, that kind of almost turns it into a laptop type of device. You know, and it's actually not a bad keyboard to type on. So that's, you know, and I like that a whole lot better, you know, because at first I just used the Microsoft one, and that's really kind of a poor keyboard. This is a much better keyboard. It makes it more like a laptop type experience. And if I want to take, you know, it's easy to just pull it out, you know, pull it off of the keyboard, and if I wanted to use it, you know, kind of in a tablet type mode, I could. And this keyboard must have a pretty big battery in it, because I haven't charged it that much. I think I've charged it maybe once since I put it on there. And it didn't give me any indication that it was running down or anything. I just had it for a while, and I thought, well, it might be a good idea just to go ahead and plug it in. And so I did, and then it charged it back up. But it'll go months. It seems like it'll go months without, and it just keeps its charge. I don't bother turning it off. It kind of automatically turns itself off. And whenever like this evening, I popped the machine out and turned it on, and it's working through Bluetooth, so it's a Bluetooth keyboard and trackpad combination, and it just finds it soon after it boots up, and then it works like it's pretty much works as if it's a direct connection, as if it were directly connected, but it's just a Bluetooth, it works through Bluetooth. I'm trying to remember the name of the keyboard, because they don't really have a label on it, so I can't. I just don't remember. You have to go back and if you want to know the name of this keyboard, you have to go back and listen to the prior podcast. Because I don't have the name of it, but it's actually a pretty good keyboard, and if you. Somebody's interested, then I can look on my Amazon account and I can tell you what it is. Even though I bought it at my local Best Buy store, because they sell the same keyboard. They have versions for iPads as well as Surface. And the Surface, this works with any of the 12-inch Surface Pro models. This would work with probably a newer, probably even a Surface Pro 6. It would probably still work, because they're I think physically they're about the same size. And so when it closes and it looks and feels and works just like it's a laptop. And the nice part about it, you can actually, now I can actually use it in my lap, as opposed to, you have that other, like a folio cover type thing that you can use it on a table okay, it's a crappy typing experience, of course, but you try to use something like that in your lap, and it's just too floppy, because the machine is actually the display. It's all in the display, and that's much heavier than the that folio keyboard, and so it just doesn't work. But in this keyboard that I have now, you can even, like I've got the screen, which is the machine, it's kind of leaning back at a pretty good angle, and it stays, put on the flat surface. It's balanced well enough where it pretty well just stays put, so it's not, trying to flop back. Because of the extra weight of the machine itself, so I've been very happy with the Surface. Have had zero problems with it, and like I say, I've had at this point I've had tons and tons of updates, and the thing just it performs like a champ.
Hey Tom, just sitting here, it's on Friday with a light work day for me, which is not good. That's all right. Working on bringing business up some. Anyway, was thinking about this whole Gillette commercial thing. I don't know if you've seen the commercial or not, but where they're basically preaching toxic masculinity and stuff like that. And then kind of thinking beyond the commercial itself into, should it be Gillette who's preaching this to us? And let's be realistic here. That's what they're doing. Gillette is basically taking the place of, or attempting to take the place of the church. Church fathers, first, of course, but the church also plays a role in helping us to bring men up to be moral individuals. And essentially that is what Gillette's trying to do by painting all men as bad, but that's neither here nor there. To me, I look at this and say, Gillette, sell me a razor. Tell me why your razors are better than the other guys. And save the social commentary for the church or for whatever organization that you belong to that helps you to learn social morals. And if you don't have one, get one. Even atheists have church now. Look at that, actually. Just Google atheist church. I guarantee you, you're going to find some. So, anyway, just listening, still listening to that still small voice. Talk to you later, buddy.
Thank you again, Joel. Yes, I did see that. I found it and watched it. And, of course, it's ridiculous. You're right. They are trying to kind of step in and, you know, make social commentary and preach morality. And the reason, you know, it's of course it's just an utterly stupid business tactic, because I guarantee you it's not good for their, it's hurt their bottom line. And any time a company does this, ask Target when they had their bathroom controversy. Ask them how that helped, if that helped the shareholders, if that helped the company. It was terrible for the company, for the Target company. You know, so anytime, but what compels people to do this is, you know, their religion. It's the religion of secular fundamentalism. You know, because if you don't believe that there's a God, you know, you for whatever reason you don't believe there's a God. And usually the thing that drives that is people are guilty and they don't want to face their conscience. And so that's typically, you know, they want to destroy the idea that there's any kind of a conscience or any sort of a universal morality, a natural universal morality. They want to destroy that idea. You know, they want shades of gray. And they think that it's going to make them feel better. And, of course, it doesn't. That's the thing that always gets people in trouble is, you know, they have their friends or, you know, they all kind of cry in their beer together and, you know, support each other, so-called support, you know, that wrong is right, right is wrong. And they get all their friends to agree with them that right is wrong and wrong is right. And but the problem is that the more you are separated from your God-given conscience, the worse, the more miserable you become as a human being. And so these people are, you know, they're making themselves ever more miserable. But so if you, you know, but then they have to have a church. You have to have some sort of a way of feeling better about yourself. So the church becomes the state. You know, the state becomes God. The state is sort of, you know, they look at the state as man's effort to sort of turn the state into God. Sort of a man-made God. And at the end of the day, there are really only two ways you can go. It's binary. You either are going in the right direction, or you're going in the wrong direction. You either realize that there is a God, and there is a purpose for your existence. You begin to seek that purpose, etc., etc. Or you want to think that you're God, And this is your lucky day because you exist. Somehow you just came into existence. And it's your lucky day. You must be, therefore, you must be God. And and of course, you know, go back to the Adam and Eve story, and the serpent was there sort of egging them on. You know, you can be God, you can be as God yourself and know the difference between right and wrong. You can be your own conscience. Set your own standards. And of course, that appeals to the wrong side of the ego, to the dark side. And so we're all possessed, whether we realize it or not. You're either possessed of one spirit or you're possessed of the other. And so the same thing is driving, you know, it's driving all these people. The same spirit is sort of has control of them and is driving them. And they really are under compulsion. They can't, you know, you can't reason with them. You can't, some of them can come out of it, but then there are others that can't. If you know, lately, you know, I haven't really been paying too much attention to news. I've really cut back even more, but I am aware of this controversy with the Democrats, in New York State passed this thing where they can kill babies. Basically, it's infanticide. They can kill them up to the minute that they're born. And then the governor of Virginia came out with this statement that he would like to kill them after they're born. You know, and then now you've got this whole, all this blackface controversy that, you know, people found that, of course, these people are racists. These people are excellent. You know, they project. You know, they project on other people what they're guilty of themselves. So that you want to know who the real racists are, look on the left. Because that's where the real racism is. You know, so. So I'm not really surprised that, you know, but companies that do that, like Gillette, they just, you know, guarantee you that's not going to be too good for their bottom line. You've got all of these Hollywood types, you know, the movie franchises that have been subverted, sort of perverted, you know, so it was, you know, and with all the social justice preachy social justice warrior type crap that they've, you know, they've ruined Star Wars, they've ruined Star Trek, they've ruined a lot of the comic book movies, you know, that's all kind of been ruined, or a lot of it has. Maybe not all of it, but a substantial portion of it has. And, you know, get woke and go broke is basically what happens. So, goodbye, Gillette. They're overpriced anyway. So, by the way, I also have a, so thank you, Joel. I also have a message sent to me by Ted. And so let me go ahead and, so he says, hi, Tom, great inspiration from your podcast. I decided to try the keto diet because you said your acid reflux was relieved. From the very first day on keto, acid reflux gone. I've been dependent on Prilosec. That's bad because, you know, because Prilosec can cause you know, too much of a reduction of acid in your stomach, and then, you know, it can actually end up causing, because then you're not able to absorb the nutrients like calcium, or the mineral like calcium, and then you can end up with osteoporosis. But anyways, as I've been dependent on Prilosec for at least 6 years, and now I don't have a hint of heartburn, and I'm 2 weeks into the keto diet feeling great. Energy levels were low the first week because my body was looking for sugar to burn, but now my energy is quite good. I'm starting to see some weight loss. Thanks for sharing your experience. Another good reason to listen to your podcast. Stay safe out there, Tom, and thanks. And that's Ted from Boston, Massachusetts. And I responded back to him, and then he came back and he said, the only hard part is no pizza, but that's okay. No heartburn is worth it. Look forward to the next podcast. And actually, there are keto pizza recipes, and it's basically for the dough. And so you can look on YouTube, and you can find people that have recipes, where they actually show you how to, you know, tell you what the ingredients are and show you how to make it. And so you can make some fairly convincing pizza dough with, I think it's, you know, like some of the ingredients are like cauliflower and cheese. There are various kinds. You know, some of them are actually like low-carb bread type things. One of the videos I watched, this guy bought low-carb tortillas. Low-carb, and so what he did, he took two low-carb tortillas and kind of put cheese in between them, and then put the regular pizza toppings, because regular pizza toppings are fine, you know, cheese and pepperonis, various kinds of vegetables. Those are, and, you know, now obviously you're not going to do pineapple or whatever, because that's too high carb, but you know, the normal pizza toppings are just fine. They're low carb. But the problem with pizza, of course, is the bread itself. But so you can use a low carb tortillas. Now, of course, then the problem with that is you're getting bad grains. So if I was going to make the pizza, I would go with like a cauliflower cheese type of crust, you know, and I think that would be just fine, you know, because cauliflower, I love cauliflower, and obviously cheese is good, and then, you know, you make your pizza out of that. My sister-in-law made a pizza like that, and actually they said it was good. So youngest brother even ate some of it. He said it was good, and he's not really doing low carb. he probably should be, but we'll see. But so anyway, it is possible. There are plenty of alternatives. Yeah, for, you know, if you're missing a specific food, then chances are you can find a low-carb version of it. Because there are plenty of people that are coming up with some really creative recipes. But at this point, I'm just happy. You know, I'm happy eating the occasional steak, the salmon, the fish, eggs, bacon, salads, plenty of salad. Salad is good because, you know, salads actually, you know, if you have a variety of, you know, vegetables and what have you in a salad, that's actually quite nutritious. You know, and same way with broccoli. Broccoli's great. Different types of vegetables are good, unless they're too starchy. Some of them are too starchy, but the majority of them are okay, and they're quite good. And so you don't really have, you know, people have this idea that keto is just a, you know, ton of red meat, and that's not what it is. You're going to get some meat, But, you know, your protein really should be about 25%, and the carbs should be probably, you know, maybe 5 to 10%, you know, kind of depending, and the rest of it should be fat, good fat. And you could do that pretty easily with, you know, things like fish. You know, and the great part about it, if you, let's say you want hamburger, well, you go to the store, and of course the low-fat hamburger, the lean hamburger, is the most expensive. Which one's the cheapest? The one with the highest fat content. That's actually the best. So whenever you buy hamburger at your supermarket, your local supermarket, get the cheapest hamburger there is, because that's the one that's got the best fat content. Ironically, and it's the cheapest. So there you go. I'm really, really pleased with how it's, you know, how much better I feel, and you know, getting rid of the acid reflux is huge, of course, but you know, no joint pains, and you know, just feeling great all over, you know, just altogether feeling great. Very steady energy, you know, not ever kind of dipping in the middle of the afternoon. You know, at this point, since I've been doing this, I haven't had a single time where I've struggled, you know, with drowsiness. That's just all gone now. So it's got lots of benefits, and I'm sticking with it. So. Anyway, better be cutting this off. Hope everyone is having a great week. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.
Does your life suck? Is it a living hell to be you? Do you ever wish you could just end it all? Or do you have that pesky aging parent, nagging wife, or insolent brat of a kid you wish you could just eliminate? If so, know that you are not alone. Planned Parenthood proudly announces a new business unit, Planned Parenthood Death Centers. At Planned Parenthood Death Centers, we can help you overcome life's mistakes. At Planned Parenthood Death Centers, we believe that every life should be a planned and wanted life. Planned Parenthood Death Centers, coming soon to a location near you.
All services must be prepaid in advance, cash only.